Ladies and gents, welcome to episode 46. So this is a solo episode. It's just me talking. However, I'm going to talk a lot about what I have set up for May, some of the upcoming podcast recordings that I think you guys are definitely going to want to love and lean into, as well as just kind of the mindset of quarantine, nutrition, and where I have been and where everyone else may or may not be. Either way, it's a great episode. Lean in, listen, enjoy, and just realize I am sorry, but episodes are still coming. I'm still recording. Bandwidth for recording has been a little crazy lately as far as getting episodes up. However, it is happening. They will continue to roll out, and I appreciate your patience as we're finding that we have to create patience in this space of comfort in uncomfortable situations. All right, guys, let's jump into the episode. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I know you guys have been like, Neo, where are your episodes? They're here. I apologize, guys. It's been a little crazy. I'm sure everyone has recognized that Zoom is probably the place that everyone should be spending their money or investing, because during quarantine, they are blowing up. Zoom calls have been happening on a regular basis, and I am sure that everyone around me where I am is on Zoom. I know I've been on Zoom a ton, but with all of that said, honestly, the bandwidth I've had to try to upload has just given me nothing but headaches and frustrations. These files are pretty large, and so trying to upload them during what seems to be now peak part of the day, every day, has been a little more than challenging. And I have been using, believe it or not, a ton of my mobile data to do the things I've needed to do, because my internet service provider, Spectrum, if you're listening, fix this, has not been amazing. So with all of that said, I apologize, but this episode is really just going to be me. We're going to talk quarantine, isolation. We're going to talk about what's going on for May, the direction of the Keto Matrix, and just like random thoughts I've been having with different clients and conversations, life in general. And I hope that some of these things you can relate to, some of these things you glean and, you know, recognize new levels of self-discovery within yourself, whether it be your fitness and health nutrition journey, whether it's your life in general, just overall outlook. Either way, all of these things we're going to talk about now. So let's talk quarantine first. I don't know what you're doing for quarantine. Maybe you're listening to this and you have, I don't know, kids that are at home. Actually, I literally just finished texting my sister. She's got three boys, so my nephews, which are a handful. Three boys of anyone's are a handful. But, you know, she was just talking about how the dynamics have changed with her having to work from home and keeping the kids occupied. So maybe that's you. Maybe you and your husband, or you and your partner, or whatever your family dynamics are, now have the kids at home and are trying to figure out, how in the world do you work from home with the kids around? I don't know. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you're a single individual that has never felt more single in your entire life than sitting at home by yourself, looking at your four walls or your roommates. Maybe you have roommates that you've been with for years and you just now realize how much you don't like them. Whatever it is, I would venture to say, embrace what you're learning about right now, because it's a very rare time that we'd ever have a stay-at-home order. I don't even want to call it quarantine, because technically it's really not quarantine. It's more of a, you know, a stay-at-home request that has been made. And I know a lot of states at this point have also started to open up, and they have phases and ramp ups and all this other stuff, which is great. But my point in all of this is, whatever things you're doing right now at home by yourself in this isolated state that's not normal for most, embrace whatever that is. Like, embrace the uncomfortable aspect of it and ask yourself and really truly uncover why it's so uncomfortable. What is the thing that has you feeling so uneasy? Now, I'm going to talk about myself for a second. I mean, why not? You guys came to this episode. You came to this podcast to listen to the ramblings of myself anyway. So, So I have been in quarantine. Now, I have been in quarantine, I guess, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, six, seven, eight, something like that. And it really, like, the beginning of quarantine hadn't really been too bad. And when I say the beginning, I just mean, like, I've been busy. I've been keeping myself busy. You guys know I always have a lot of stuff going on. And so those crazy distractions have always been there, and I have continued to plug away at that stuff. However, Easter weekend, it was like it all came to pass. Easter weekend, the isolation, the feeling solo, the really sitting and looking at and staring at the walls in my house, it got to a point where I realized I was really, really uncomfortable. Like, really uncomfortable. And, you know, I don't know. I'm an extroverted person, I'd like to say, but I also have some introverted qualities. I think some of the introverted qualities I have come from just different life experiences. But with all of that said, I would consider myself to be pretty extroverted. I also discovered and recognized that a lot of the times the uncomfortable feelings that I have, I push through. Like, that's just my response, right? So any of you that are listening to this that have been coached by me, you know, I have absolutely no problem telling you to suck it up, buttercup. Like, you've got to push through some of the sticking spots, both mentally, physically, emotionally, to get to your goals. If we look at how we feel internally, whether that be mentally, emotionally, whatever, we are never going to ever have it where we don't have our own negative perceptions of ourselves. I cannot think of anyone, honestly. I'm like, as I'm sitting here saying this, I'm thinking about it. I cannot think of anyone that doesn't have any type of negative opinions about themselves. I mean, these are the mind monsters that most normal people with a pulse and lungs and a heart feel at some point in time. No one is going to tell you louder or more convincingly than you will tell yourself in your own internal dialogue and dialect that you cannot achieve something, that you cannot do something, that you cannot feel a certain way, that you cannot accomplish a certain goal, whatever that is. I don't care if it's financially, I don't care if it's emotionally, I don't care if it's professionally, I don't care if it's within your relationship, your marriage, your whatever, right? Those words that come from your heart internally in your mind will always speak louder than anybody else's words to you. Having said that, when we get to the point where we're constantly moving about, running around, or trying to get the next thing done, it is often that we don't hear or feel those things. We just continue getting through and pushing through those limits. So as I, on one hand, agree with the, hey, don't sit here and try to feel this. You need to get through it. Maybe it's the last rep where the lactic acid's just really built up and your muscles are starting to shake and you feel like, oh my goodness, I can't do another rep. Well, I can't remember who coined this, but the brain gives up at about 80% capacity. Or I should say, yeah, at about 80% capacity, the mind will tell you, like, I'm out, I'm done. And you still have got 20% left in reserves, which means your body can still push through that as long as you unlock your mind to that potential. So I say all of that to say, that weekend for me, Easter weekend, extremely uncomfortable. And I didn't have the typical distractions to allow me to just do something else, to just push through. So I had to feel, which it was uncomfortable, man. I like literally uncomfortable. I spent pretty much the entire weekend in tears, and just really raw and open and just crazy. I honestly have felt like I was going crazy, not stir crazy, but crazy in the sense that I was learning and understanding and realizing things about myself that I thought I already had a handle on. These are things I thought I already knew about myself. So it was this crazy just position of learning and understanding new aspects of myself, which, you know, at this age, to think that there's anything left to learn about myself is crazy. Not to mention, if I think about, you know, all of the other experiences, life lessons, and things I've learned up until this point in my life, I would think, man, I know everything about me that I'll ever know. And it's just not the case. So having said all of that, you know, I know if you listen to the first episode or any of my other lives on any of the social media platforms I'm on, I've talked a little bit about why I call myself Neo. You know, my name is amazing. It was given to me by my father via my grandfather. I love my name. But you know, when I did the keto, when I started the keto journey, when I really looked at trying to dial myself in and become the best version of myself, keto unlocked new aspects of me that I never thought. And I really felt new, revived, and completely different than I had ever been. Hence Neo. Neo means new. And so that is one aspect of it, right? Like keto and the challenges and the mental and the physical and the emotional aspects of overcoming the challenges that are faced when people make that transition to live a ketogenic lifestyle. Those things I went through, I don't want to say I thought I arrived, because I never think that, but I definitely thought that I was further ahead in at least the mental stressors that were out there. And I don't know, Easter weekend, I realized there was extras. So whatever it is you're going through and the uncomfortable aspect of where you're at, I would venture to say in certain aspects, yes, you have to push through. You have got to just continue doing the things that are necessary that you have to get through. And then in other ways, in other aspects, you have got to take the time, sit back and feel, like absolutely feel how you are, where you are and why you feel that way. Because if you don't take the time to feel, if you don't take the time to really examine those emotions, that state of everything, you will, I don't know, you're never going to allow yourself to truly get to where you deserve to be. And that's important. So I guess with all of that said, I'm going to resort to this Stoic reading, which this was actually out on May 1st. And it basically said, for philosophy doesn't consist in outward display, but in taking heed to what is needed and being mindful of it. And then there's a quote where it basically says, the monk dresses in his robes, a priest puts on his collar, a banker wears an expensive suit and carries a briefcase. A Stoic has no uniform and resembles no stereotype. They are not identifiable by look or by sight or by sound. The only way to recognize them, by their character. And I mean, it hit me on the first when I read it, but on Easter weekend, as I was thinking about that, I just realized, like, first off, let me just clarify. I was not thinking about the May 1st Stoic reading on Easter, the second week of April. I am, however, reflecting on that reading where I think about, you know, I post my Stoics every day on my Instagram. Every day it's there. So people can see it, they can read it, they can kind of glean where my mind may have been pricked that day. Like, what was the thing that stimulated my thought for the day? And Stoic is why I do that. But with that said, as I was thinking about that and the uncomfortable aspect of being alone, the comfortable aspect of being by myself, it's just the recognition that those moments, that uncomfortable nature, to find comfort, to explore the uncomfortable, those moments, those times, those opportunities are the things that build the character of who we are. And if we're not willing to be uncomfortable, if we're not willing to take that time to sit in that space, then we are preventing ourselves from continuing along the journey that is the best version of ourselves. So I'd venture to say, embrace the uncomfortable aspect of it. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's you being solo. Maybe it's all the kids at home. Maybe it's your roommates or some of the other things I mentioned earlier. But whatever those things are, figure out how you can make them more comfortable. Not by changing the person or changing the situation, but by changing where you are and who you are within the situation. How you respond, how you feel it, why you feel that way, how you view it, what the perception is, what the reality is, and how do you close the gap, all of those things. And I would say that if you do that with everything in life, including your journey for nutrition, whether you're listening to this and you're keto, whether you're paleo, whether you're on the standard American diet, whatever that is, whether you've fallen off of the wagon a million times, whatever your struggle is, whatever the uncomfortable nature of said issue is, find out how to embrace it. Because as you embrace it and as you work through that, as you look deeper into figuring all of that out, I promise you there's nothing but greatness on the other end. Now, I will tell you, it is painful. It is a painful process, as is sanding anything down. It's smooth at the end and when you're finished, but the process in the meantime is extremely uncomfortable. So if anyone's asking or anyone has asked, I will tell you, it is an uncomfortable thing to learn about yourself and develop comfort in uncomfortable situations. That's just the reality. If anyone tells you otherwise, they're lying. All right, so now let's talk about May. What's going on with May? What is up with my Free Your Mind Fridays? Some of you have probably seen those posts already. So let's talk a little bit about it. I have gotten an absolute ton of questions on, and literally since I started helping people with keto, a ton of questions on everything from protein to fasting to how much fat is too much fat. carbs, total and net, how you test and track, and is it important and do you need to, and can you be intuitive and do you ever fall off? What does this mean? What does that mean? Should my ketones be high or low? Should I eat pork? Should I not eat pork? Should I take collagen? Should I take whey protein supplements? Should I take any kind of supplements? What supplements should I take? What's too much? What's too little? Why are my hormones? I mean, there are literally hundreds of thousands of questions that people have around keto. And I love the fact that the questions are out there, because people are willing to and they want to learn and understand. The issue that I have found in the years that I have been keto, in the years that I've been coaching, in the years I have changed my lifestyle, are that people are not willing to truly find out the real answer behind these questions. Most figure out what they can do to manipulate the answers around what they desire. What does that mean? It means that when I wake up in the morning, I have macros planned and what I'm going to eat. And when I look in my app, whatever app you're tracking your food in, okay, that plan was executed the day before. I'm going to eat 3 ounces of pork belly. I'm going to eat 16-ounce ribeye. I'm going to eat 2 ounces of cottage cheese. Whatever it is that you have planned for the day and your macros and your meals, right? That plan is then executed by what you eat. Nowhere involved in that when I wake up is, what do I want to eat today? Because just the desire and just the aspect of me asking myself emotionally what it is I want to consume takes the fact of fuel and food away. It resorts back to this weird, well, I kind of really want a bacon cheeseburger and I really want this grilled potato bun, but the grilled potato bun is not going to provide me the energy, the fuel, the micronutrients that I need, but I really want it. So now you're tempted by this thing that wasn't even part of your eating plan because you asked yourself what you wanted. I guess my point is, for the month of May, I am going to talk through everything I can possibly think of that has to do with how we metabolize food. I wanted that silence to sit there and kind of hit you in like, wait, what? How we metabolize food? Now, I don't want to talk about how many chews are necessary to adequately break down the protein that you're consuming for adequate absorption and utilization. I'm not going to talk about that. I don't want to talk about the impact of carbonated beverages on lactic acid production. I'm not going to talk about those things. What I am going to talk about is things like gluconeogenesis, protein, ratios. What does fat fueled actually mean? What is metabolic flexibility? What is macro manipulation? What is metabolic manipulation? Can anyone do it? What are the things that you have to learn? How should you track your macros? How should you track your ketones? How should you track your glucose? Are these things absolutely important? What does it mean to say I have a damaged metabolism? Can I change my metabolism? Is it something that's adjustable? Like, there's just so many things that come into play when we talk about metabolism and efficiency and how our bodies run and how we can manipulate our metabolism to do the things that we truly want, whether that's gain weight, gain body fat, lose body fat, whether that's gain muscle mass, maintain muscle mass, whether that's improve energy utilization, overall functionality, performance, recovery, inflammation, relieving stress, providing mental clarity. I mean, there's just so many different things that come along with what you eat and how you eat it, even ketogenically. Let me say that again, even ketogenically. So I know some of you are listening to this thinking, well, yeah, obviously if I eat keto, I'm going to perform better. I'll feel better. I'll think better. And my mind will be clear, blah, blah, blah. But that's not what I mean. Absolutely, those things are true. If you are eating a standard American diet, or if you're eating a diet that's high in carbohydrates or higher than, you know, the 20 grams total or less, there are going to be some benefits from you going ketogenic and from you running your body ketogenically. Absolutely, hands down. However, even ketogenically, I cannot tell you how many clients I have dealt with, how many people I see that eat ketogenically, that have sort of kind of embraced the ketogenic lifestyle, and are miserable. They feel miserable, their cravings are miserable, their performance is miserable, their ability to recover is miserable, their hormones are miserable, their cycles are miserable. Like, there's just so many things that are just off. And if you ask them, they'll say, yes, you know, I've lost weight and that's been great. Or no, I haven't lost weight at all and I keep trying, whatever, one side or the other. And they'll just tell you, like, keto is difficult. I don't want to. I can't. It's horrible. It's this, it's that, it's the other thing. And all of these things are not false, but it's the little things that they're doing that they don't recognize are causing them to feel the way they do. So, you know, I'll have some people tell me, you know, it's crazy, man. I've tried this whole fasting thing and I can't intermittent fast because whenever I intermittent fast, man, like I'll go to the gym, I'll work out and, you know, I don't break my fast. I don't do anything. Like I'll take my aminos, like they're just some branch chain aminos, man. They're sugar free. There's no carbs. And, you know, it's under 15 calories. And I take that and I get super, super hungry. And I'm like, okay, well, do you realize what you're doing when you're taking in these aminos that are, you know, unflavored and, you know, all this, that, and the other thing? And they're like, no, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you know, it's sweetened with this thing called sucralose that has an impact on your insulin. And when your insulin goes up, your body's thinking that it's eating. So it's going to release the things necessary to break the things that you have not consumed down, which is making you now more hungry and has put your body in the state of asking for energy that you're not providing because you haven't given it food. And now you feel hungry because you haven't eaten. So the whole point of intermittent fasting is to keep your insulin at bay. And when you're doing intermittent fasting properly and you keep your insulin at bay, your hunger, the leptin and ghrelin hormones that dictate that, also subside, which means that hunger is removed. The mistake that people make is they're usually doing something that's impacting their insulin that they don't even realize. And that thing is causing the issues that they're having with hunger. I mean, that's one of a million different things. And that's one topic of a million different scenarios that come up. But my point is that these are the little things that people are doing when they're eating ketogenically and they can't understand why they're not seeing the results that they want. Or, you know, I've been eating ketogenically and I had my gallbladder removed, but I still feel like this, that, or the other thing. There's a million things that go along with that. Some people will tell you that, well, I can't digest the fat and that's the issue. You know, some people, you know, I have found clients that have had something like their gallbladder removed. They complain about being able to digest their food. But what they didn't realize is that their vegetable consumption has gone way up because they wanted to get super creative, right? They didn't want to just eat like meat and fat. They wanted to get super creative and have zoodles and salads and all this other vegetation that they never consumed. Their fiber count now is like way through the roof compared to what they were typically eating on the standard American diet. And now they've introduced all these vegetables, but they're blaming their inability to have smooth digestion because of the fact that their gallbladder was removed and they think they're consuming too much fat. When in all actuality, it's you've now ingested all of this extra fiber that you typically never consume. And that's the thing that's causing your disrupt, your GI impact, the reasons why the digestion is not what you want it to be. And again, this is only one of a million different scenarios that happen, but it's just something else that I want to say, hey, there are other reasons why keto has not worked out well for you. And mostly it's because people are making changes and they don't realize the impact behind the changes. And so I want to take the month of May. I already committed every Friday in May, I'm going to do Free Your Mind Fridays. That may continue indefinitely where I pick a topic and help talk through it. But in May, I want to help people understand what it is to manipulate your metabolism, why eating too few calories is very damaging, why eating excess calories, specifically in a ketogenic state, has a lot more leeway and grace than people typically understand, why calories do but also don't matter, why protein utilization is such an important thing, how we can change that even without changing how much protein we eat. There's just so many things that I was like, you know what? I really want to just take the month and talk about it. I think that this is the moment where a lot of people start saying, okay, I want to get ready for summer. Granted, they should have been doing that all winter long, but hey, for the late bloomers that are now in May thinking, oh my goodness, I want to do this for the 4th of July. It's cool. I got it. I'm going to help show you, empower you, and walk you through the things that are necessary to make those adjustments. Also, other huge things. There are podcasts that are coming out. One of them I can tell you is with a manufacturer that has manufactured and created the first medical grade breathalyzer. I cannot tell you how excited, like over the top excited I am for this. For those of you that have been following me since the beginning, you will know I pretty much went from, I don't want to lie, but I'm almost positive. I went from urine strips straight to a breathalyzer. I honestly don't feel like I was taking blood readings before I was using the breathalyzer. I think I really went straight from urine strips to the breathalyzer. And then after I had used the breathalyzer for a while, maybe a few months, I then switched and started doing blood readings in addition to the breath readings. I may be lying to you, but I'm not intentionally. All I can tell you is that from the very beginning of my ketogenic journey, I have looked to the breathalyzer and acetone to give me a really good understanding of not the ketones I had in my system, but how in the world my body was using and burning them. That's what I've always wanted to know. That's the thing that the breathalyzer does better than absolutely anything else. And the episode that we have coming up with BioSense as we talk through and walk through that process is going to be so mind-blowingly awesome. You're going to want to listen to that over and over again. It is the first non-invasive method that is accurate and can take the numbers and correlate to what blood numbers are so that you can more easily keep track of how your body's responding throughout the day. Because that's the other thing. A lot of people will prick their finger in the morning, and that's great and all, but that really doesn't do you any good other than to tell you how your body was metabolizing things as you slept and how things were when you woke up. What about an hour after you woke, 2 hours after you woke? What about after your workout? What about before your workout? What about 3 hours after your last meal? What about right before bed? What about in the middle of the night? What about when you first wake up and then again an hour later? You know, what kind of changes or adjustments did your body make without in between that period of time? How long does it really take you to take the glucose spike that you have in the morning for it to dissipate in your body to use it? What are the ketone numbers coming up with when you're losing the most readily available fat? What does that look like for you? And how is that different to other people? Why? There's so many different things during your workouts, whether it was a HIIT workout, whether it was a steady state workout, whether it was just an anaerobic workout. What was your ketone utilization like? How did it change and fluctuate? How much was your body using ketones to get you through it? And how much was it using or relying on glucose or other substrates that you may have taken in? There are so many things that really become available when you track it and you have the information and the data, and then you can put all of the pictures together to create this comprehensive outlook on your nutrition and your ability to perform. With that said, possibly, this is a possibility. It is not something I'm guaranteeing. However, I may be opening up to take an additional handful of clients to do personal coaching, which would start in June. So if it's something that you think, I'm talking even remotely think about, shoot me a message sooner than later to let me know. Because if I do that, if I open it up, my current clients, that's not changing. My existing client book, I'm having that. However, I may open up for 5 additional one-on-ones. And if I do that, it will be for June, but I will need to have it secured, booked, and ready for you guys in May. So follow along. If it's something you want to do, shoot me a message. The easiest thing, you can go to the Contact Us page on theketomatrix.com. You can shoot me an email directly, which is ketoneo@theketomatrix.com. Ketoneo is K-E-T-O-N-E-O @theketomatrix.com. Or feel free to hit me up on Snap or Instagram, which again, it's just Ketoneo, K-E-T-O period N-E-O. I try to keep that the same on all my platforms. Those are the best ways to get a hold of me. But if it's something you're like, hey, I really wanted your coaching for X amount of period of time, will you help me? Will you work with me? Send me a message. It's not a guarantee that I will work with you, but it at least gets you in there to hold the spot. And again, maximum is going to be 5 people. So if I decide to open up my books to accept more people, the maximum cutoff will be 5, and it won't be until June, but I will need to have you on the books. I would say no later than the second week in May, so I can plan everything else accordingly from there. I think that's it, guys. I just wanted to come on, let you know, like, things are going, I'm living, life is good, and you know, we are all out here going through different challenges, changes, adjustments, and I will do my best to continue bringing you information that helps empower you along your journey, helps cause thought-provoking statements, and causes you to take those thought-provoking statements and make changes in your life that truly do help you excel, succeed, and, you know, uncover and walk through the path of being the best version of who you are. And in doing so, will continue to help myself grow. So just know that as I speak to you, as I say the things that I do, as I share the things that I share, I too go through my own challenges, hurdles, obstacles, and continue to press forward. Not because I'm just this self-motivated, driven individual, but because I speak to all of you self-motivated, driven individuals that help motivate and push me along all the time. So keep that in mind. The other thing I will say is, hey, I don't know who's close to you, who's not close to you, whether it's friends, family, or others. Reach out. Reach out. I don't know what the statistics are on people's mental health during quarantine and staying at home, but I would just say, think of whoever your friend is that's always happy, that's always smiling, always cracking jokes, and always making you feel like a million bucks. Call them and ask them how they're doing. Because it's typically that person that could use a lift up or pick me up. I was going to say lift me up. That doesn't make sense. A pick me up. And I'm sure they would appreciate hearing from you no matter how, you know, joyous they always seem. So call them and call someone else and check on them and make sure that though you're being socially distant, that you are still connected to people around you. That is it. Thank you guys so much for leaning in with the episode. If this resonated with you, if you think this will resonate with others, please feel free. And I'm asking you, share it, like, subscribe, and rate 5 stars. I appreciate you all. Thank you so much. And stay tuned for the next episode, which will be out sooner than you know it. Have a great rest of your day. And remember, if you truly want to change your life, start by freeing your mind. Peace.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com.